Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Hello and welcome to the first moon musing of 2024. And my oh my, is this a lovely and supportive new moon today in the sign of Capricorn, January 11th, 111, the beautiful enigmatic symbol, really this special number that really pops up and illuminates when we begin to open our eyes and open our hearts to the truth, to the unseen realms, and open up our senses. So it's very common to see what we might call angel numbers, spirit numbers, 111 in particular being one that is very common when your awakening process really begins to expand. I know that that was true in my case when I first started this journey. Before we dive into this new moon and what it means for you, I have some very exciting announcements that I want to make very quickly. So first, we are opening up the doors again to the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. And this time we have a couple of special things going on for those of you who are interested in stepping in at the beginning of this year with this incredibly supportive astrology. You get some really special bonuses and access that I have not ever offered to the public before. So if you are not familiar with the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, this is my 9-month intuitive healing mentorship and mastermind program. This is my flagship group program where you have elements of one-on-one touch points with me, but the benefits of being in a fruitful, heart-centered community of wildly intuitive healers. And there is nothing like that. I feel like this program is worth that on its own, because it's really hard to find such a loving container of supportive, intuitive healers that are also not just here to work on their stuff, but here to show up in the highest way in service and really open to exchange and supporting one another. In the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, we initiate you into working with the Akashic Records. So you learn how to work with the Akashic Records, open them up for yourself, do readings for others, and heal within this really sacred container of the Akasha. And there is curriculum that helps you as a healer move through the dips, the challenges, the blocks, as well as breaking through into your vision and what your heart is holding to express and co-create for the healing of others, of the collective, and of course, yourself. We go super deep and wide with these channeled teachings, and you'll be hearing from some graduates of WIP, as I like to call it, because saying the whole name, Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, can be a mouthful. So later this month, we will have some pretty amazing podcast episodes with previous students, graduates of WIP, and you'll get to hear about their unique journey. And if you're thinking about joining WIP or you have been, this is a wonderful way to get even better sense of whether or not it's a good fit for you. And this is for anybody on the spectrum of intuitive healership, whether you are just getting started and a beginner or you have been doing intuitive healing, maybe on a personal level, or you're a practitioner wanting to really step more into a truly holistic approach, incorporating spiritual and intuitive elements to your work, this is 100% aligned for you. I made this for you. So the two new things that I have cooked up for WIP, if you decide to join us in this opening, the first is I am opening 3-month access. Yes. So what this means is you get access to literally everything, all the exact curriculum, bonuses, live calls, community support, the whole shebang. But instead of committing for 9 months, you can commit for 3 months. Now, there is no difference in terms of the monthly pricing. Like, I'm making it such an easy yes here. And I understand that making these longer term commitments can be not only scary, but also just not feasible for some people, because let's be real, it's really hard to plan even past a quarter or a seasonal mark, right? Past 3 months, which is why I made it 3 months. And you will have enough time to dive in, take a look around. You get access to everything immediately, right away. You can access the Akashic training, get started right away, hop on these live calls, and really sink your teeth into this container. And then at the end of the 3-month access, you will get a chance to decide whether you want to continue moving forward for the following 6 months or end your journey with us inside of WIP. You can click the link in the show notes to apply. The application process is exactly the same, whether you are interested in 3-month access or the full 9-month access. And that is going to wildlyrooted.com/apply. wildlyrooted.com/apply. And that'll take you to the application. Yes, it is an application process because I want to make sure that we are a good fit and that it makes sense. We have a wonderfully supportive community of healers, and I would like to keep it that way. There is a difference, aside from just the amount of time of access and commitment, between the 3-month and the 9-month. And that is that while both of them get access to the bonuses, only the 9-month access, so the full commitment, gets lifetime access to all of the bonuses. So that includes the Feed Your Wild Gut program, the Feed Your Wild Voice program, and my brand new offering that's coming out in February called Unblock Thyself, an intuitive healer's emergence kit. So this is, I'm so excited about this because honestly, this is the culmination of so much work that I've done over the past few years with other healers around what the biggest blocks are and how to really alchemize and break through them. So this is a compendium of meditations, hypnotic audios, and channel teachings to reprogram your mind and clear your field of the top blocks, limiting beliefs, and programs that I see holding healers back. Yes, those things that are holding you back from activating and owning your intuitive healing gifts. So while this doesn't open up until February, you get registered and you get it for free, complimentary, when you sign up with WIP by January 26th. So we're closing the doors on this deal with WIP on Friday, January 26th. So as long as you sign up before then you get access to all of those bonuses, including Unblock Thyself. Okay, so that's my announcement for WIP. I have another announcement for a workshop that I am leading on the full moon on January 25th. So this is a live 2-hour workshop on the Leo full moon. It's called Lit, Liberate Inner Truth, and Light Up the World, Hearts on Fire with Your Intuitive Healing Gifts. This is a workshop where we'll be doing sacred heart work and fire ceremony to release the blocks preventing you from moving forward into your path of healership. In this workshop, we'll be opening up the Akashic Records, connecting in with our high guides, intuitive channeled readings for the collective, and really focusing on releasing the shackles, utilizing the energy of this powerful full moon to release and burn that which is holding us back. And from the ashes, rising up like a phoenix, from the compost, the rose rising up more aligned on purpose, lit up with the fire of divine grace, and attuning to the medicine of rose as a gatekeeper of the heart. So join us in this workshop for doing this really powerful heart work that really is going to set you up for the rest of the year and weave in actionable steps to move you in the direction of your desire and visions. There will be impromptu Akashic readings, and this workshop is donation-based. It will be held on Zoom, and there will be a replay. But of course, if you show up live, it's that much more powerful in terms of feeling the energy of everybody live, and you have the possibility of getting an impromptu Akashic reading. You can check that out and sign up over at wildlyrooted.com/lit, L-I-T. And it'll take you to the sign up page for this workshop. I cannot wait to join you live then. Again, all links will be in the show notes. Welcome to the age of Aquarius. Man, I feel like, okay, yeah, Pluto isn't quite yet into Aquarius. It will be permanently, well, at least for the next 20 years, as it moves in and out of Capricorn and Aquarius until November. But I'm feeling like 2024 is like, can kind of be that official year of, yeah, we are entering this age that we've been talking about for some time now. And if you haven't been paying attention to the news stories, oh my goodness, lots coming out in terms of the shadowy depths, things talking about governmental secrets being revealed, some shadowy behaviors of top officials, people in politics, in various social circles, you know, people with big names. And then we had the incident of the creatures that were seen in Miami and recorded in that whole fiasco. Now, I'm recording this on January 5th, Friday, January 5th. And so this will be coming out and is coming out today, January 11th, on the new moon, which we'll get into in a moment. But I mean, I can't talk about the astrology and this year and, you know, this new moon without talking about what has occurred thus far, literally since the first of January of this year. And the craziness. So if you haven't tuned into all of that, maybe that's better. But I haven't been able to avoid it. And I'm really interested in how the various narratives are being spun. You know, obviously there is a specific narrative that is released on mainstream media. If you are like, if that's not something that you believe in, I think that it's time to really start paying closer attention that anything in mainstream media is going to be curated, censored, and also very much a spun narrative that is either made to be more palatable or just made to ring a certain way, right? And to direct us, the masses, in a certain way. This is not conspiracy. I mean, this is just media 101, like literally, if you just look into the history of media. So what I find interesting is simultaneously tuning into the astrology of things, right? And tuning in intuitively and with the Akashic records of like energetically what's going on. But then also tuning into independent journalists and journalism, which I highly recommend, and tuning into mainstream media so that we can have this plethora, right? This palette of various colors and understand how they all play into each other. And I say that we have officially, like, the 2024 is kind of the year of like the age of Aquarius feels expressed in our 3D material realm, is because of so much that it will be unearthed and is already being unearthed. And honestly, I feel like it's not going to be a smooth ride. It's going to be a bumpy ride. That doesn't mean it has to hurt or it has to be really challenging. I feel like the past several years and last year, unfortunately, I feel like was a lot tougher than many of us had hoped. But I feel like we're at a different level of consciousness. And even when we tune into the frequency and to like the magnetics, the geomagnetics and the solar flares and all that's going on with that, there is a shift happening. And as we have been receiving in our Akashic messages and intuitive insights, that the veil is continuing to get thinner and thinner and thinner, we are moving into a period where we're going to see things that we didn't see before. At least we're going to see things differently, maybe more clearly. And that sometimes that can be challenging. Sometimes that can hurt. Sometimes we don't want to see, right? We want to unsee what we saw. This preamble before I get into the new moon, I think, is just really prompted by not just the recent events, but also the reactions that I'm seeing, the reactivity. I think that there's a lot of ownership and responsibility over how we react and how we choose to interrelate with our reality, and also what we choose to consume, and being more conscious consumers on all levels. Like literally we're consuming all the time through all of our senses. So how can we become more conscious consumers on all levels? And then be able to integrate and do something with what we are consuming. Okay, so moving into this year, I feel like we're going to see a more obvious collapse of what we would call the old order. In the second half of September through November, Pluto finally backtracks into Capricorn before moving into Aquarius November 20th for the next 20 years. That is, I'm going to be touching in on that in just a moment, a little bit more detail, but that's going to be a huge shift in terms of what is revealed, what we see, because Pluto is the revealer, it's the excavator, it's the transformer, and it's of the old shadowy shit, our collective shit, right? I think that, you know, moving out of Capricorn, we've been seeing so much of that breakdown that I'm talking about, of that old order and old structure. So what does moving into Aquarius look like? Let's explore that in just a moment. But if we look back on December 30th, Jupiter stationed direct and Mercury moved direct on the 2nd of January. And then Uranus is going to be moving direct later this month. So we're going to have all planets direct until May. So here, when we have these planets direct and we have this Capricorn new moon, it's like momentum, movement forward, and clarity in various areas. So the first half of January really feels like, you know, we're getting things in order. We're getting our ducks lined up and in a row. This is beautiful energy for setting intentions and envisioning. We see that on the 1st of January, Mars was conjunct the galactic center. That's 27 degrees of Sagittarius. The galactic center, I've talked about this before. It's the center of our cosmos, or of our universe. And so this is where you could say the energy and pulsations and like the plasma that makes our reality supposedly derives from the origin. And that we can have also insights, messages that come through this point, especially if you have planets near or conjunct the galactic center. When planets align in transit, we have, so transit as like planets are moving, and planets transit and go past, conjunct the galactic center, we have a hotline to cosmic mind, so to speak. So those with natal planets conjunct the galactic center are usually sensitive to energy. They may work with energy. They can also be tuned into galactic cosmic energy and insights and frequencies. There's quite a few of us in my generation who have Neptune conjunct Sagittarius. I do. Many of us around my age do. And I have my ascendant right at the galactic center. I have Mercury directly opposite galactic center. So it's been an interesting experience. I have a lot of interest in the galactic center, as you can imagine, especially since it has been part of my journey in my own intuitive channeling work and connecting with intuitive insights that are sort of plugged into more of a cosmic field and mind and level of understanding or consciousness, if you will. But I heard another astrologer talk about those with Neptune at the galactic center. So those around my age, I'm 40. And how we're kind of the rave culture. So if those of you remember going to raves as young people, and sort of like that was church, you know, like going deep into this like meditative ascended state through music and being immersed in the waves and the energy of that. So that's very, you know, Neptunian galactic center. I love that description, and I that really resonates with me. But, you know, so if you have other planets near the galactic center, then it might color influence it differently for you. But we had Mars, coming back to Mars, conjunct the galactic center on the 1st of January. So this feels a little bit more like clarity through cosmic mind and sort of this more of the energy of this young type of fiery energy coming through and like lighting us up on the 1st of January. And I think honestly that it sort of set a precedent for the rest of the year, because I think that things are just going to continue to move in that direction. So on the 4th, Mars entered Capricorn on January 4th, and it's going to be there until January 15th. This really feels like that, take that fire energy and bring it into that Capricornian getting shit done and moving with intention. So getting back to the foundations, getting to the crux of what is most important and prioritization. So Mars in Capricorn feels like, with all these planets direct, very motivating, lots of momentum, and building something, but like building it to last, having the sustainability feel to whatever it is that you are building in this time, or at least planting the seeds for. And really through discipline and commitment. So it's kind of like stepping up, you know, Mars connected with Aries, and it feels like this audacious, unapologetic stepping into your embodied self and an authority, like your self-authority, and owning who you are and your purpose and your capacity, right? So like, I think about Emperor energy with this, the Aries rules the Emperor card in tarot, like the mountain or the ocean, like that kind of energy and vibe where they're not apologizing for existing, right? And mountains, when we connect to Capricorn, the sea goat that can traverse the depths of the sea and yet climb the highest mountain and with discipline and commitment. So what mountain are you ready to climb? This is like the beginning of that planning, that intention, and the start of that journey of ascent into that mountain that you have set your eyes on. So this is such brilliant energy, I think, to really start the year off. This is the kind of energy, and we're going to get into the actual new moon in a moment, but this is the energy of what, you know, we conventionally think of when we think about New Year's resolutions, New Year's goal setting, New Year, New You, the cheesy Hallmark versions of the sentiment around the new year. But in actuality, it's really, really supported, especially with this new moon. So today, on January 11th, the day that this is released, we have the dwarf planet Eris stationing direct in Aries. Now, Eris is the warrior sister of Mars. Mars is the ruling planet of Aries. And Eris is said to, in mythology, to stand for justice, to stand for truth. She's the warrior princess, sister. And so she's also fire. She's also standing, but like in the name of justice and love through that lens, that energy is going to be magnified here on the new moon. We also have a few different alignments or aspects with this moon that I think are interesting. So we have Pluto and the moon, a hard aspect between the two. What this can feel like is an intensity. There is an intensity. I remember I mentioned that Pluto is really this excavator, the revealer of truths, of secrets. So this could be a moon, you know, being the unconscious, the hidden, the emotions. So this could be intensity in feeling, revealings in through feeling and emotions, something coming out as truth, especially with Eris here, and in a fiery way. So there's this intensity, this level of intensity that we may be feeling today too. And thanks to Pluto, which is, it's hovering at the last degree of Capricorn, the 29th degree of Capricorn, Pluto is going to dip in and out of Capricorn, as I had mentioned. So when it's at the 29th degree, which is known as the anaretic degree, it's amplified. And it's usually when we see the shadow side of that particular sign manifesting. So it's kind of like you know, Pluto cleaning up the last of the cobwebs of Capricorn before it finally enters into Aquarius for the next 20 years. Capricorn is all about the top-down old order. It can be connected to the patriarchy. So, you know, when we're talking about its shadow side of things, there is also control, like attempts at retaining control. You can imagine as Pluto is clearing those cobwebs and like just, oh, like holding on to, I don't want these secrets to come out. I don't want these changes to be rolled out or implemented. I don't want my control to be taken away. That's the feeling of this last degree as Pluto is kind of inching in and out of that, sort of scrubbing out the last of Capricorn. So Pluto's going to reveal corruption moving through this degree and this sign. When Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008, we had the financial collapse. So Capricorn, again, connected to banking, stock market, big business, and like the material realm. So even like with housing, financial collapse there. As I mentioned this, I think in the New Year episode, but in 2008, I had pretty gnarly experience with real estate because I had just purchased a condo right before the housing market crashed. But it was a horrific event for so many people financially who literally lost everything, lost their life savings. And we saw the shadowy side of like the dark underbelly, well, at least a portion of it, of the matrix of like what's at play in supporting the top-down structure, the governmental control, as things rolled out with that 2008 crash. If you remember, the largest banks to fail were investment banks. This included Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, and then JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, among others, were bailed out by the federal government. So big banks were bailed out with amounts of money that quite literally could have saved and prevented issues moving forward for the people. And yet, we saw a scramble to actually support the structures that are not necessarily meant to be the most supportive for the people. We saw a scramble to save that. And that absolutely is, you know, I think a Pluto moving into Capricorn kind of feel. It's like, oh shit, like we just saw rolled out in real time just how deep this goes and the control that, you know, the money that will be utilized to maintain the systems that are in place to continue moving forward. So there absolutely is going to be a fight in terms of releasing of that control. And I feel like there is going to be some sort of fallout as Pluto moves into Aquarius. Now, what that actually is going to look like, I don't know. You know, like moving into Aquarius, we could ask a good astrologer. I have no clue. But someone like, for example, Judith Hill, who I had on the podcast talking about medical astrology, she also predicted quite a few things. She basically predicted the pandemic, and she's phenomenal at all of that. So I'm really interested to hear what she has to say about all of this in transition. So maybe tune into her work. Now, let's get into this new moon, because I'm talking about the setting. And I think it's important to understand and have that sort of context when we tap into this Capricorn new moon. So it's happening at 20 degrees of Capricorn. So check where it lands in your chart. This new moon has a lot of fresh energy, which is refreshing. As I mentioned before, there's also, it's riding on the waves of this momentum, this like really beautiful kind of fiery energy of just things are shifting, changing, and really stepping into your path in this audacious, unapologetic way. And in the name of truth, right, and justice. But Capricorn is also really practical, and it's squaring the north and south nodes, which are in Aries and Libra, the lunar nodes. So what I'm getting with this is that, you know, these can be points of collective traction, where the north node is where we're going collectively. With Capricorn, it's almost like with that square, it's kind of like slowing things down. We don't have to, like, that fiery energy can maybe have us wanting to hit the ground running and go really fast. But Capricorn is all about, let's make this real. And let's make this stick and stay and build the foundation for something that we want to grow. So slowing down, like the tortoise winning the race, it's going to be the best way to do that so that you don't burn yourself out, quite literally, because here we have Chiron near the north node in Aries, and Chiron is the wounded healer, and collectively we can sort of see like, ooh, there's this potential if we don't play our cards right, if we don't have temperance, right, with what it is that we want to create, co-create and build, we could be burned or burn ourselves out. So this new moon really feels like it's about planting seeds for the long term. What it is that you want to build based on the choices that you've made thus far. I feel like last year was about course correction and realignment and letting go. At least that's how I experienced it and a lot of others in my community. So what are the choices now based off of sort of that cleanup work and realignment work that we can utilize and stand upon when we plant these seeds for the long term? We could also see issues of power all this year in connection with this, because again, Capricorn and relating to the control and power and issues of power, and then like Pluto and all that. So it'll just be interesting to look at the power dynamics within your own life, maybe even within yourself, but just noticing what comes up for you around that. This new moon is also trine Uranus. That's a particular kind of aspect, and it's usually positive. Uranus is the planet of the higher mind, of innovation and the future and truth-seeking. So this really feels like in the physical reality, because we're looking at earth signs here, it's changes, clear changes, inspiring changes, or innovation in physical reality. So this could be with your body, with movement, with your habits. Is, you know, when we think about the stereotypical New Year's resolutions of like working out more and eating better and this and that. Well, this new moon is actually really, really good for that, if that's where you want to take it. There's a lot of support here for that. Also, not just your body and what you eat and habits and all that, but also your finances, your resources, your professional world, your work. And maybe, you know, doing things that are out of your comfort zone. So taking risks, but taking risks that are in alignment. So this is the year for that, which is really exciting, I think, just in general, but also for me, because there's definitely a lot of things that I've had on the back burner that have felt I'm not quite ready or a little too risky. And I feel like, this feels like the year where maybe we start to tiptoe our way in, like the tortoise, like really taking our time with a lot of intentionality. It doesn't have to look like, you know, leaving the stalls like a racehorse or the hare that just goes and goes but doesn't actually win the race. I think a big piece of this too is with the release of control with Capricorn, it's release of control around timing, around what it has to look like according to our ego, according to what we think is best. And moving more into trust of divine order and timing. So divine trust and faith, absolute faith, which has been, I think, a really big theme and a teaching. And I'm going to be talking a lot more about faith in this coming year as it pertains to our own intuition and sovereignty in that way. But faith in ourselves, right? And in what you are building. And that because it's a long game, like having that faith is really important. When you're running a marathon, it's like in the beginning, if you lose faith within the first 5 minutes, it's kind of like a done deal. The race is kind of over already by that point, right? So I think cultivating faith is going to be really, really key for this year and beyond, and with this long-term potential and themes that we have with this new moon and this year. Okay, so I talked about this Mars energy. We also have Mars and Jupiter trining, again, like that positive aspect. This can feel like enthusiasm to grow something or to start something. This feels like it's building energy again, because Jupiter is in Taurus and Taurus is all about building, and Mars in Capricorn. So it feels like also building for the long term and commitment. This is kind of like, but with that fire energy, it's kind of like crusader energy, like you're getting ready for that crusade, that long journey forward, but with a lot of passion and a lot of enthusiasm. So we have that energy going on too. And we also have a couple of interesting things going on with Mercury. I talked about the galactic center. Well, today we have Mercury conjunct the galactic center at 27 degrees with Sagittarius. So this is the messenger, right? The divine messenger of the gods. This is all about the mind as well, communications. So aligning with that cosmic mind, you might be experiencing downloads or channeling or insights. Those of you like me, if you have a natal aspect with Mercury and the galactic center, it might be amplified. So whatever is going on with you with that. So I know my channeling has been really opening up with this time too. We also have Mercury trine Aries, and I mentioned Aries earlier. So again, trine that positive aspect. So after the new moon, I feel like we're probably going to get access to things that we've been trying to get to, but it's been kind of getting stuck in the spam folder, so to speak, or like it's behind a foggy wall, like you can't quite access it. And then after this new moon release, boom, clarity or a download of a message that's been trying to get to you. So with Mercury direct and Neptune helping out, it's going to be like, oh, here it is. This is what has been trying to get through this whole time. So I pray that that's true for you if you've been feeling that. But I feel like that's absolutely something in terms of a release and like the planting of the seeds that's going on with this new moon. We're going to start to see some of the fruits from that right away.
back in January 2020, we had a Saturn-Pluto conjunction, and this was at 22 degrees of Capricorn. I think this is a really beautiful point to look at and for a reflection point of the past 4 years. What has shifted permanently for you since then? So think back to January 2020, 4 years ago. What is different? What rolled out? What did you learn about the structure in your life, about habits, about things that you initiated or were ready to initiate, about power and power dynamics in your life? But more specifically, what has permanently shifted and changed? And I think that for many of us over the past 4 years, it has been a lot. Like, I think that I know my life today looks so radically different than it did 4 years ago. It's humbling. It's humbling what can happen in 4 years. And I think that it's this new moon, it's not just about looking forward in future envisioning, which we have a lot of support around that, but it's also about reflection and looking at where you've come from. Look back at the bottom of the mountain, right? And what you have traversed, and really honoring that and celebrating that. While this new moon is very much about setting the stage for this upcoming year, it's also about honoring the transformations that we have been through and acknowledging what has surfaced, what was in the depths, in the shadows, in the closet, in that underworld, so to speak, and now has risen. And through that has also transformed. So everything that we go through is part of our evolution, right? And transformational journey. And I think that looking back, this new moon is really beautiful for us in looking back and acknowledging our previous versions of ourselves, the deaths and rebirths that we've been through, and everything we've learned along the way, and then taking all of that into our intention setting, into our goal making. And it's said that intentions and goal setting on a Capricorn new moon are have extra juju, so to speak, right? Like, because they hold this energy and frequency of longevity, of getting it done. So if there has been something you've been holding in your heart, in your mind, in your field, for getting out there, for building and committing to for the long term, this absolutely is the new moon to set your intentions, to pray those prayers into being, and to take action. But a small action, it doesn't have to be the whole thing, right? Think the tortoise winning the race, step by step. So all you need to know, what is that first step? That first step that is right in front of you. And take it with intention and with meaning and in alignment. And it makes all the difference, because it gets you on the course, and that energy of longevity and commitment is planted along right with it. So let us review our relationship with time, because, you know, with when we think about the tortoise winning the race, we say, is it going to take forever? I feel like I've been waiting forever for XYZ to happen. And again, I'd say, like, let's connect to divine trust and divine timing, but also we can relate to time. Like, I think we need to review our relationship with time and presence and invite ourselves into a new/ancient way of relating with time, which is kairos, which is spiralic, which is nonlinear. And know also that we can jump timelines. So we can't base planning on linear timeline-based thinking anymore. We just can't. I know that I haven't been able to do that for the past 4 years. Like, no matter how hard I try in terms of like a linear, you know, planning for my year, like quarterly and yearly, it all goes to shit, you know? And it becomes this like, oh, I have to be so present in the moment and with just like, what is the next right step? That's all I need to know. And how scary that can feel, but also liberating, because it's this acknowledgement that we don't have control. We never did. And when we can relate to time in this way and remember that we can actually shift, we can jump timelines based on our alignment and frequency, then anything is possible. And what we think of as, oh, well, that's going to take 10 years actually happens in 5 or 3 or 2, right? But also not grasping and trying to control a specific timeline and making something happen by a specific date. It just doesn't work that way anymore. So while I think that there's definitely beauty in holding intention for a particular timeline, simultaneously, you know, giving it up to God, letting release of control and really cultivating the faith that it's all going to happen in the best and highest way and timeline. Let us move into the herbal astrology aspects of things here and take a closer look at Capricorn. So I mentioned the sea goat or the goatfish, however you want to call it. This particular creature, this Capricornian creature, is probably one of the hardest working signs of the zodiac. So known for commitment, the enduring nature, the self-control, the determination. There's a lot that in terms of the values of Capricorn, there's a lot around responsibility, self-responsibility, radical responsibility. It was actually one of my core values for my business and my work is radical responsibility. And what that really calls for is a sense of self that is acknowledgement around what you are showing up for in your capacity, right? And then taking the responsibility on based off of that. Now, sometimes with Capricorns, you could see that their sense of self is actually shaped by their own perception of their capacity and in terms of like their responsibilities. So like how they could show up for others, how they can be in service to others. Capricorns show up in service in a different way than like Virgo does or any of the other signs. There's something more self-determining about this and ambitious also. And as well as their commitment. Because of that, when we look at it through the lens of medical astrology or astro-herbology, Capricorn is connected to regulation. And it's connected also, obviously ruled by the planet Saturn. There's something around power as well here, and structure. This sign is connected to the pituitary gland, among other things that I'll touch on in a moment. But what's interesting about this is that the pituitary gland is a regulator, right? It secretes hormones in the body that regulate many different aspects of like what goes on in our body, the thermostat even, our metabolism, our thyroid. So when Capricorn gets into a space that is not so healthy or is not so balanced, we start to see an attempt to control or over-regulate. There could be sort of a hypervigilance around it in the body. And in this way, we can see restriction. So especially with Saturn, the Saturnian energy, restriction in movement, we see stagnation. We can also see too much building. So like building of tissues, tumors and such. One thing that I see in terms of imbalances in wellness for Capricorns is a buildup of emotions that then become stagnant in the digestive system and specifically in the liver and gallbladder. And usually this is anger, unexpressed anger. So it's something to keep in mind. And it's not something that I think is talked about a lot, but the fact that the unexpressed emotion, and in particular the anger, how deleteriously that can affect our Capricorn folk. And so looking at healthy expressions of emotions is actually one of the things that can be really, really good for Capricorns. I think kind of goes under the radar when we're looking at this particular sign, at least in my world. So Capricorn, an earth sign, obviously I've been talking about that, cardinal sign ruled by Saturn. It is, in terms of the tissue states, it's connected to cold depression tissue states. So this is very Saturnian. Saturn is kind of like that cold stagnation and depression due to the cold and the stagnation and the lack of movement and the heat and all of that. So this is based on a more energetic system of traditional Western herbalism. The body systems connected to Capricorn, aside from the pituitary gland, especially the anterior pituitary gland and the gallbladder that I mentioned, but also the minerals of the body, right? And the skin, the hair, the joints, teeth. When we're looking at the joints, especially the knees and the skeletal system, your bones, of course. So with that, I mentioned the regulation aspects, so the regulation of the body systems and the hormonal systems, and primarily through the pituitary gland. All of that we could see when there's cold, depression, stagnation or restriction, then we start, and constriction, we see a lack of moisture. We see a slowing down of metabolism. We see a slowing down of the digestive system, of things being processed and released. We can also see bone issues. So we might see broken bones, breaking down of bones, brittle bones. We can see joint pain and skin issues, especially any knee stuff going on. We could see teeth, dental issues and disease, and anything with the tissues in general, like, you know, tissue infection or inflammation with the tissues. We can also see just sort of like a general low vitality. You know, when we lose that agni, that fire, that metabolic fire, and we go into cold depression, then we can see the reduction in life force, in vitality. So here, reduction in energy, and just sort of like we can even just tell by looking at a person, right? There's also, in terms of the emotional state, we could see melancholy, depression. I know that I saw melancholy in my mom quite a bit leading up to her disease and her journey with chronic illness. You know, feeling unsupported, not feeling like you have that support structure, and also doubt in oneself. There could be extra rigidity, attempts at control and restriction in various ways, and trying to correct, like too much emphasis on that, on trying to correct things. So when we look at, well, what can help assist Capricorn in this time? And I think that there's quite a bit in terms of really like reflection and looking at one's emotions and repressing or restricting oneself, looking at the ways that you might be doing that, because I think that that is absolutely so often the seed for disease. But we also want to bring in things that kind of move and bring in not just movement, but also heat and fire and water and moisture. So anything that's going to support digestion and support your Agni and building up that digestive fire. So digestive tonics, this can include bitters, any support for your liver and gallbladder. And we also want to bring in warming herbs and foods, things that are oily and moisturizing and highly nutritive. So lots of vitamins and minerals and just really yummy and supportive in terms of like feeling nourished. And also looking at the load that you are carrying, all right? And looking at, well, am I caring too much? Is some of this actually unnecessary, right? That I don't need to be carrying this load anymore for myself or for anybody. And so getting really real about that, because a lot of times there can be such commitment that resentment can be built, right? That unexpressed discontent and frustration and anger can turn into something else and contribute to the stagnation, especially of emotions that eventually cause disease. So really important to get very truthful with yourself about all of that. Now, when we look at herbs that are supportive for Capricorn, there are a lot. I mean, if we just even tune into what I just said, obviously anything that's going to be helpful for digestion, for the liver, gallbladder, for stoking the Agni, the fire of the metabolic process. And in that way, anything that kind of can bring in heat and support digestion. So ginger, cayenne, those are going to be really great. Amla, traditional Ayurvedic herb, very, very used in support of digestion as well. But we also see things that are supportive for building and connected energetically to our bones. So we see bone set, and we see very minerally supportive herbs like horsetail and comfrey, and we also see mullein. While mullein is commonly known as a respiratory system remedy, and the leaves being even smoked for support of the lungs, we also see mullein energetically, and the root of mullein specifically being really supportive for the musculoskeletal system, which is definitely connected to Capricorn. So the root of mullein can be used to increase lubrication of the synovial fluids in the joints between the vertebrae. And this is where, when we see issues with
and imbalance with Capricorn, the dryness, the stagnation, and the joints in particular, where we can see that, this can be really helpful. The leaves have also been supportive for setting bones back into their proper place. Now, mullein is a salty remedy, indicating that there is a lot of minerals there, and it has some mucilage in it. It's mucilaginous, so it can help with increasing secretions and lubrication, getting that moisture back in, and strengthening the mineral matrix, especially beneficial for joints. It's a cooling remedy in terms of its energetics. Taste-wise, it's salty, sweet, earthy, and mildly pungent. And it's also can be a relaxant expectorant when used for the lungs, but it's a demulcent, and that moisture mucilaginous property of it, again, can be really helpful when it comes to the joints. Even looking at mullein as a plant is really aligned with Capricorn, right? Like, and bones and building. It's tall, it's beautiful, it's sturdy. It's been used a lot in like candle making and used as torches because of its the strong stick-like quality of mullein. So there's something to that too, in addition to its emollient and demulcent properties that can really help to soothe dryness and hardness and roughness in the tissues. What I love about mullein in particular as a remedy for Capricorn is that, you know, other Saturn ruled plants don't typically have this soothing or demulcent quality. Now, mullein is, it can thrive in cold weather, in super dry soils, and poisonous toxic soils are no problem for it. It's not fast growing at all. It actually takes a couple years to fully mature. So that slow, steady nature of Saturn, and mullein, like Saturn, it teaches us about boundaries. So it really helps in bringing the paradoxical aspects of Saturn and then this demulcent quality, because Saturn is typically drying, but here we have a Saturnian plant that's very soothing and moistening. So there is a teaching, a deep wisdom with this plant in how to receive that sweetness, that soothing quality, the moisture, the flow, the softness, the receptivity, but also stand firm and tall and hold our boundaries. Mullein is rigid, it's strong, but it's also flexible, it's adaptable, it thrives in soil that is, you know, barren. But it's also a regenerative plant for the soil. So it helps the healing of the soil. And yet it's also such a gentle medicine, and it's really beautiful medicine for the lungs too. So there's something about like highlighting contradictions within ourself and a teacher. It's a teacher of making peace with our complexity and remembering that we can still stand strong and hold boundaries and stay soft. And I think very similarly, rose does this too, but definitely in a completely different embodied way. I think mullein, in a very Saturnian way, mullein brings that forth like no other plant. It's been a while since I pulled from my goddess oracle deck, but I was called to do so for this particular moon and Capricorn medicine. And the card that we pulled was Demeter. And within the goddess oracle deck that I have, Demeter is connected to feelings and emotions. So I think this rides on the back of what I was talking about
in relation to Capricorn and acknowledging the unexpressed anger in particular. And there's a poem here, so I'm going to read it and we'll dive into a little bit more of the meaning. I felt it all, the rage, the anger, the joy, the happiness, the tearing, the anguish, and I searched for the middle ground, the sure path between what I felt and what I did with it. Then I shed the skins, the layers that build up when feelings aren't voiced, aren't heard, aren't acknowledged. By giving my feelings their rightful place, I keep myself far from the intensity, immensity, sheer density, and cost of emotion. My oh my, if that doesn't encapsulate what we just talked about, I don't know what does. Here, this image of Demeter encapsulates the goddess, who whose name means doorway of the mysterious feminine. She has a snake around her neck, is holding a pomegranate in her left hand, and a torch, of a lit up torch in her right hand. Demeter is known for the founding of agriculture and instituting the social order. So I would say in that way, she also feels very Saturnian, right? As this old Greek Olympian type of goddess. And her daughter was Persephone. And if you aren't familiar with the myth of Persephone, she was captured by Hades, the god of the underworld, and the reason for the seasons, essentially. In this particular book, it's talking about the importance of the light that Demeter brings to assist you through the dark and the shadowy depths of one's feelings and emotions, and that acknowledging, bringing awareness to them, and expressing them for movement, to release that stagnation, and for authenticity, to feel what you truly feel, and allow that unexpressed buildup to release and process and integrate leads to healthy energetic flow. So again, I feel that this is beautiful medicine for all of us. I think that there's a lot to be angry about in this world. And so allowing yourself the space to bring awareness to it, to allow it to move you, and to be vulnerable enough to express. And it doesn't have to be to the people per se that maybe you're angry with, but simply the vulnerability that comes with the surrender of expression, because it can be scary, especially when it's anger that you're holding on to. So knowing that the more that you can build fluency in the expression of your emotions, the less stagnation you will feel and experience, the less emotional turmoil, and the more self-acceptance and honoring of yourself and your feelings that will come to fruition, and really like create the creation of a safe container for you to do so. It starts with yourself. So again, my friends, with this Capricorn season and this Capricorn new moon, perhaps alongside the intention setting, the building of one's dreams step by step, begins with the acknowledgement, expression, processing, and release of the stagnant and unexpressed emotions, and in particular, anger and that fire. And there's a lot of Mars energy going on to support us. the expression and release of that so that we have the fertile grounds and the space to co-create what it is that we truly desire and in true alignment. Well, I hope that this reading has served you. I would love to hear how this new moon is landing and feeling and showing up in your life. You can find me over on Instagram at Wildly Rooted. Make sure you are subscribed and rate and review if you feel that this podcast episode or any episodes have supported you in your journey. And stay tuned for our next episode, which is going to be incredible because I feel it's probably one of the most important ones that we'll be doing for this year. And yeah, I'm making that call at the very beginning of the year in January. The next episode is going to be an interview that is all about chronic illness, navigating chronic illness holistically and really approaching it from a truly dynamic place, getting to the roots. So life-changing approaches to living or addressing chronic illness. So if you yourself have chronic illness or you are a practitioner and help support others in their own journey, or maybe you have a loved one, and let's be honest, I feel like at this point, you know at least one person in your life who has chronic illness. It is that pervasive. They must listen to this next episode. So stay tuned. Episode 283 coming up. And we got a lot lined up for you for this year. So I'm excited to dive in and let's do this, y'all. I hope to see you in our full moon fire ceremony, heart activation for my healers live. And until next time, sending you all my love. Be well.